Okay, here we go. We on? Sounds like it. This is good. I spent all these years in a classroom listening to everyone else's voice. Now I can listen to my own. No, that's all right. Well, it's been a big week. I spent the first part of it down at a Bible college intensive for 4 days. So the Lord was really good to me this week, and I'm trusting that today that he has been preparing a message that will speak to your hearts. I trust that you've come today believing that God's going to speak to you. I know that sometimes when we come to church we're thinking, oh, here we go. and yeah, that's the wrong attitude. You know, we come here with an expectant heart. We come here to read God's word. Then he will speak to you. I ran into Enoch Peepman the other day. Don't know if you remember Enoch and Shirley, who were pastoring here for a little while. He was in the Koorong bookshop when I was there. And it was really God's timing that he would show up right then. I don't know if you know, but he's had a triple bypass. He had heart surgery and he had another scare just a few weeks ago. But he's doing okay, and he was walking around and looking through the Christian bookshop, which was good. So the amazing thing meeting up with Enoch was that, you know, it was during a sermon that Enoch was preaching out of Biwa that God really spoke to me about serving the Lord full-time in ministry. And it was amazing that he should turn up there, just that I've been to a week in Bible college, and be there to encourage me yet again. I must say that at that time he wasn't speaking anything about full-time service for the Lord, but the Lord spoke to me during that service out of his word, and I trust that he'll do the same for you today. I just want to remind you that I'm really keen this year to build a prayer wall, and a prayer wall for youth and children's ministry, and so I'm looking for pictures. I'm looking for pictures of families with children, with birthdays, so that I can put them on the wall and I can pray for you guys. Prayer is such an important thing, and I really want to pray for this ministry in our church. So I need you to help me by giving me those photographs and that information so I can start to set that up. So please, if you have young adults or you have children, if you could do that, that would be wonderful. If you want to send it by email, I'll give you an email address to do that as well. There is one in the directory. Well, today I want to talk to you about growing up together into the fullness of God. I brought one of my mates to church over here. I didn't know quite what to call him, so I just call him Church. So that'll do. And he's there for a purpose, as you'll see a little bit later. Okay, but we'll come to that. It's that time of year again when most of us do a little soul searching and evaluate the year that's been. And it sets some new goals for the future. Maybe start a new job, make some new friends, start a new hobby or interest, learn how to use an iPad, or perhaps some other form of social media. I think I've been introduced to Facebook. Okay, avoided it for years as a teacher. But I can see the value in it. You know, the other day we were looking at evangelism in this Bible college workshop we were doing, and they said it took something like 38 years to reach a few hundred million people by radio. It took 13 years by television. It took 4 years with the internet. In one hour, Facebook had over 500 million users got onto it in 1 hour. So you can see where our world is heading in terms of communication, and we probably need to be up with it. So I'm learning how to use Facebook. Perhaps you might be starting to do a bit of walking to lose a few kilos. Okay, in my case, a lot of kilos. Okay, but we've started at least. But I want to ask you, how are you travelling spiritually? Looking over the previous year, could you honestly say that by the end of the year you were in a much better place in your relationship with God? What about your involvement in ministry? Has it been fruitful? And what about us as a church fellowship? Was 2012 a year in which our body of believers experienced significant growth? What about our ministries? For some of us, the answer would be a resounding yes. But for most of us, well, I suspect there might be some I'm not sure. Well, let's take a look. Okay, up on the screen, I've developed a little personal spiritual growth reflection activity. Okay, so there's going to be 10 questions, and I want you to rate yourself from 1 to 5. 5, you strongly agree with the statement, 1, you strongly disagree, okay? So these 10 statements will all be on the same slide when they come up, and then you add up your points at the end of that time. If you get 40 or more, then I would say you probably experienced some significant Christian growth last year. Okay, but let's see how you go. Can anyone read that? I'll need to read them out. Okay, so, have you become increasingly aware, or I have become increasingly aware of my own sinfulness and weakness? Okay, I'll do it here, it'll be easier. I have genuinely responded to the Holy Spirit's conviction regarding sinful behaviour and repented quickly. Put yourself a number there. Just kind of, you've got to add them up as you go, okay? I have experienced a growing desire to live obediently to God and a lessening attraction to sin. I have increasingly viewed trials and temptations as opportunities for spiritual growth. I spend a reasonable amount of time every day reading God's word and genuinely attempting to apply it to my life. I spend a reasonable amount of time talking each day and listening to God, both personally and with others. I regularly prayed for opportunities and shared the gospel with friends who aren't believers. I regularly met with other believers for Christian fellowship. I have become increasingly aware of the gifts and abilities that I have and what I am most passionate about in genuinely seeking to love and serve my fellow brothers, sisters in Christ. And the last one, I have been an excellent steward of the resources that God has made available to me. Okay, I'll give you a chance now to add up your scores. This is an interesting activity because they use this at the Bible College Intensive last week all the time. We do this talk on biblical patterns of leadership or the heart of leadership, and then they ask us to do this big of self-evaluation, and man, I must tell you, I came up wanting in a lot of them. And God started to show me a little bit more about what the heart of leadership was about. What to do with God's grace. And it was good. How did you go? Well, if you got a score less than 40, then I would say there's room for significant growth. Okay? There's room for significant growth. Now, I'm going to ask you how low your scores were. I'm not interested in that. And it's between you and the Lord. If you want to share with somebody, you're welcome. But the idea is for you to look at it and say, hey, hang on, how was I growing spiritually this year? I'd throw a little challenge out there. It would be good to do this for our church, okay? To actually do a little bit of a self-evaluation like this. Not all these questions might attribute to the church. We might have to develop a new one, but it would be worthwhile doing. Genuine spiritual growth only occurs when we fully understand and submit to God's purposeful desire to bring us all into maturity in Christ. Okay, that was a little sentence I had up at the start. You might want to keep a track of that one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, speak to us from your word today. Challenge and exhort us. Encourage us. Guide us in the way we should go. Draw us closer to you. Amen. We're going to visit a number of Bible passages today, so I hope you've got your Bibles with you. I am going to put some up on the screen if you haven't, but I would encourage you to have your Bibles and notebooks and pens. Who brought a notebook and pen with them? Three people. Okay, now I haven't got tickets on myself that I'm some kind of fantastic speaker, but I would recommend it's a good habit to get into because, hey, sometimes God says something to you and you don't write it down, and then when you get home you just get distracted and you forget what it was. And wouldn't that be really sad that if the sovereign God of this universe made the effort to speak directly to you and you forgot it? Okay? So I think the Chinese say that the weakest ink is stronger than the strongest mind. So I'd highly recommend that you bring a notebook and a pen with you to church. I've been trying to do it, so it'll be good. So we're going to visit a few passages. Thanks to Simon for reading from Ephesians chapter 2. We're just going to put those verses up on the screen again there. Okay? And have a little bit. My message today revolves mostly around the last few verses. Okay? But it says, "For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works that anyone could boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance to do, for us to do." It really got me when I read that the first time, to think that, you know, before eternity, before I even existed, God actually sat down and worked out what my life was going to consist of. Okay, how long it was going to be, who was going to be part of it, what I was going to be doing, what I was going to be good at, what I wasn't going to be good at, what it was going to be involved. And I just thought, man, that's incredible. That for each one of us, as born-again believers in Christ, God knows what he has in terms of the work for you to do. He's already prepared it. It's just a matter of us getting into it and trusting him and depending on him for what we need to do it. Well, these are a great couple of verses here. My prayer is that, you know, these will be burned into your spirit, that you will not forget them, that you will memorize them, okay, that they will be taken to heart because they are great verses of Scripture. Okay, if we look at the first little section, the yellow section I've got there, I'm not going to read it out again because we read it before, but Genesis tells us that in the beginning, God created everything to be good and to last forever. But because of our rebellion against him, the world in which we live is no longer like that. It's damaged. We're a broken people who live in a broken world. We need healing and restoration to a right relationship with God. We need a Saviour, and we need Jesus. Perhaps these few verses describe where you're at the moment. Maybe you are still dead in your transgressions. Maybe you're not in a right relationship with God. Then I would challenge you this morning that you need Jesus in your life. Okay, stop mucking around. Stop procrastinating. Okay, you need Jesus in your life. You cannot remain the rest of your life broken. You need healing, you need restoration, you need to come into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's your opportunity today. You can do that today before you leave. There will be opportunity for you to do that. If it's not true for you, okay, well, let's look at the next lot of verses there. Okay, you can see that we need Jesus. And what does it say in those verses about what God has done for us? Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our sins and our transgressions. It's by God's grace that we've been saved. You know, the Bible talks about that someone might die for a good person or a good cause, but there's not many people that would die for a sinner. But you know, Jesus did. That's what he did for each one of us. Every one of us is a sinner. Every one of us has fallen short of God's plan for this world. We're all broken. But Jesus died for us. That's how much he loved us. He went to the cross for us. I guess if you look at those few scriptures there in Ephesians 2:4-7, and you can't say this is you, then I'd say you need to act on what I said before. You need to do something about your position before God. You need to change. You may not get another chance. You know, when someone in the body of Christ hurts, we all hurt. We're all hurting for the Sleep family at the moment. But you know, something's just going through my mind that keeps saying, you know, Trevor, you ain't got many chances left, brother. It's getting close. And you need Jesus. But there are others out there, not just like Trevor. We need to pray for Trevor. We want Trevor to know the Lord. If the verses that we've been reading so far don't describe where you're at, in that you've not accepted Jesus into your life and gone into a right relationship, I would suggest that you start that spiritual growth journey today. Please don't leave this room today without first speaking to somebody about it. You may even like to pray, okay, and we can just pray a prayer right now. In fact, that's what I'm going to do right now. And we're going to pray. If you're a person that is not in a right relationship with Jesus, here's your opportunity. Okay? Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a broken person in need of God's forgiveness, healing and restoration. I accept that this is only made possible through your death and resurrection. I invite you now to come into my life and restore me into a right relationship with God. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit that I might have the power to live for you each day. Amen. Well, I'd say to you, if you just prayed that prayer, if that was part of something that your heart was speaking out, whether you used those same words or not, if you are reaching out to God, then he has reached right back to you. And you know, congratulations. You're the latest addition to God's family. And it says there's a party in heaven going on right now. Well, the angels are celebrating that they have someone else in the kingdom of God. And that's a fun thing to consider. I'm not going to ask you to do anything weird, but I would ask that you might chat to somebody before you leave today. Maybe tell somebody that you trust the kind of decision that you might have come to today, so that we can pray for you and that we can help you in your early steps in your spiritual walk. What about those of us who have already begun our journey with God? Okay, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-10, okay, it's up there on the screen, we've read it a few times already. You know, we are God's workmanship. Okay? We are God's workmanship. What does that mean exactly? What is God doing? And how is he doing it? And why would he? Why would he bother to go to all that trouble? Well, we are his workmanship. We're his work of art, his masterpiece. Okay, he is weaving all the experiences of our lives, both positive and negative, into this beautiful tapestry. It might not always seem this way to us, but it does to God, because he sees the bigger picture, the finished product, and it gives him great pleasure. You know, I like to sit there and think about this ever since I read about Eric Liddell, who used to run, and he used to say, I'm fast. And when I run fast, it gives God pleasure. You know, each one of God's children, as they love him and praise him and serve him, bring him pleasure. And that's a great thing, to bless the Lord. You give God great pleasure. And God will keep on lovingly crafting you until you are complete in him. Philippians 1:6 says, "The being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." He will never give up working on you until the job is finished. So what is God's workmanship? Okay, there should be a slide going up there now. Okay, God's workmanship, we've talked already about healing and restoring to a right relationship with God. Number two, it's about transforming lives and growing us into all the fullness of Christ. Mature, fruitful men and women who are full of the Holy Spirit. I love when I'm reading in the scripture and it talks about they set aside some men for ministry and they were full of the Holy Spirit. You know, they were mature, fruitful Christians who are ready to serve the Lord powerfully. And that's how God wants us to be, individually and as a congregation. God's workmanship is equipping, enabling, and empowering us for ministry. Why? Ephesians 2:10 tells us, because He's got work for us to do. And He's given that work, He's prepared it already. He's just waiting for us to take it up. What about this idea of maturity? Okay, I've got a few slides here to talk a little bit about this. A mature Christian, or if you like, you can put church in this as well, okay? But a mature Christian is continually growing in Christ, constantly thinking and acting more like Him, meaning more like Jesus. Okay, Romans 8:29 tells us that that we were predestined to be grown into the likeness of His Son. A mature Christian, through prayer, Bible study, fellowship, and other spiritual disciplines, centers their life on Jesus Christ. And Romans 12:1-2 talks about us offering our bodies as living sacrifices. This is our spiritual act of worship. It talks about not being conformed to the pattern of this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we can approve what good God's will is. Well, how do you have your mind renewed? Well, you don't fill it with garbage. That's the start. Okay? What you do is you fill it with godly discussion. You fill it with godly thoughts. You fill it with reading the Word of God. You fill it with praise and with worship and thoughts of an eternity. And as you do that, and as God speaks to you, and as you apply it to your life, and the Holy Spirit changes your character and your being to be more like Jesus, so there is a renewal of your mind. And not only that, a renewal of who you are as a complete being. A mature Christian evidences fruitfulness in their character. Okay, Galatians 5:22-23 talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This should be evident in our life in increasing fashion as we grow deeper into our relationship with God. As not we have more of the Holy Spirit, but more the Holy Spirit has of us and controlling and empowering us, so we should be more like Jesus. As a church, we should be exhibiting these fruits in increasing fashion. A mature Christian evidences fruitfulness in their ministry. It says in the scripture, John 15:8, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Now the great thing about God's work is just that, it's His work. It's by His grace that we've been saved and we've been invited to be part of the work as well as its subject. You know, we were talking about this in the week at Bible College, and there was this tremendous release in my spirit as I listened to John Sweetman talk about how, you know, this is God's work. This is what God wants to do in your life. This is what He wants to bring about through you and in you. Sometimes we need to step aside and let Him get on with it, because we're too busy trying to control it ourselves and getting in the way. And what John was saying to us is that it's by God's grace that we even have the gifts and the abilities that we have, that we have the ministries that we have. It's because God has chosen us, not because we chose. I tell you now, you're not here today because you chose to come to church. Okay? You are here today by divine appointment. Because God wanted you to be here. He wanted you to hear this message. He wanted to speak to your heart. That's why you're here. You're here in this community in Tincan Bay and part of this fellowship because God has purposed for you to be here. He's shaped you for ministry here as part of this congregation and as part of this community. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. That's why we're here together. You know, God doesn't need me to accomplish His purposes, but the most amazing and humbling thing is that God chooses to work with human beings. With you and with me. I have nothing to boast about because the work belongs to Him. What a releasing knowledge. The work belongs to God. It's His church. I may have started some ministry in this church, but it's not my church. I belong to it, but it's His church. He's the boss. He's the one who directs us. He's the one who equips and enables us. He's the one who has a purpose and a plan that He's taking us towards. The church belongs to Him, and so all the glory goes to Him as well. Similarly, I'm not responsible for how people respond to the calling God places on their lives. Man, that's releasing. I'm not responsible if you turn around and say, "Get Nick," and walk out the door. That's your issue, not mine. Okay? Because I've been faithful in what God's called me to do. I'm discovering the gifts and talents that God's given me. I'm operating in those in faith and by God's grace. And I'm not responsible for how you respond. That's God's work. That's between you and Him. I hope it's good. I pray for you that it's good. I look forward to what this church is going to be like if it is good. But it's up to you. What am I responsible for then? I'm responsible to be faithful to the calling placed in my life. You are responsible to be faithful for the calling that God has placed on your life to be here, to be part of this congregation, to be part of this community. Corporately, we are responsible for the calling that God has placed on this church, for its ministry into the community. And one day we will have to answer to God for that. One day we will be rewarded for the things that we have done in His grace and what He has given growth to. And the things that are of ourselves will be burned up in the fire. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That what will be left standing will just be pure gold of what God has done and accomplished through us. Long before you were ever born, God had decided how every believer would be shaped for ministry. So you probably recognise that little acronym from Rick Warren's 40 Days of Purpose. Okay, it's not my intention to go there today, although it would be a great teaching session if we could for people, and maybe a little bit later we will. But we are most effective in ministry when we understand that it's only by God's grace that we are saved and able to be faithful in our calling to minister. We are most effective in ministry when we are totally dependent on God. We are most effective in ministry when we are led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are most effective in ministry when we use our spiritual gifts and abilities in the area of our heart's desire or passion in the way that best expresses our personality and our life experiences. Okay, that's just straight out of Rick Warren. Okay, but it's so true. So why does God do all this? Well, I believe there's two main reasons, that I've identified. The first is I believe that God does it for His own pleasure. God is always getting great pleasure from His creative acts. And in Genesis 1:31, we just see that in God's heart. It says, God saw all that He had made and it was very good. The Bible says that the believers will be an eternal display of the grace of God. Hey, how's that? I'm not going to be like a butterfly pinned in a cabinet somewhere. Okay, I'm going to be a living, breathing in a resurrected body, sharing eternity with Jesus, Christian, that is going to be mature, complete in God, and God has had all this time to build into my life and to mature me, and He's going to have me on display to show His work. And man, by the time it gets to there, it will be a truly miraculous work, I can tell you. Okay, if God can put that on display. And not just for me, okay, it's for you as well. But it's there, it says in the scripture, that the reason why God does this, for His glory. We're going to be on display for eternity, together with Him. And what a wonderful thing that's going to be. Okay. So what should our response be to this incredible workmanship that God has? Well, there's some classic things here from the scripture, and you probably know them all well, but let's just run through them quickly. We should love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, to lay our lives on the altar, be set apart for God, and to live holy and righteous lives. That's what God calls us to do. You know, I was reminded of a wonderful example of Grace Fabian, who's a missionary in Papua New Guinea. I met this lady when I went to New Guinea. And she was working with the Wycliffe Bible translators, with the Nabuk people, to translate the New Testament. In 1993, I think it was sometime in the morning, Grace was working away in the kitchen about 5 metres away. Her husband was sitting at a little table with his translator from the local language, and they were working on the scriptures for the New Testament, when, for an inexplicable reason, this young translator that was working with Grace's, Edmund was the name of Grace's husband, took an axe and sunk it in his head and killed him instantly. And Grace says, you know, I know the reality of this experience because I was only a few metres away. I couldn't stop it. But I knew how deep that axe was sunk in his head because I removed it. You know. But she said, don't feel sorry for me. Don't feel sorry for me. I mean, my husband got it good because he went straight into the presence of pure love. She said, I'm the one that's got to hang around for a while longer. But I'm not disappointed with my God. I'm not disappointed with my God. And this was her first testimony since the passing of her husband. She got up and she testified, I'm not disappointed with my God. You know, their church has an insignia that has an ox and it has an altar. And when they were called to missionary work, the Lord put on their heart, their motto was, for the altar or for the plough. In other words, if I'm to be sacrificed for God, so be it. Or for hard work, so be it. One or the other, I'm up for it. And so they were. And in 1999, they published and presented the Nabuk New Testament to the people, which was a tremendous thing. You know, but Grace understood what it means to be set apart for God, to live a holy and righteous life, to sacrifice to be in that situation. Okay, there's a scripture from Ephesians there where Paul talks about making every effort to keep the unity of spirit. I think it's so important that we as a congregation present ourselves to the community as a holy and righteous group of people who just really seek to be totally dependent on God and wanting to serve and to love people. Number three, love your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, the scripture is very, very clear that we are to love the brethren. 1 Peter 2:17, show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honour the King. Isn't that good? Honour the King. We honour the King when we love the brethren. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. Love one another. Three times, in three lines, God makes it very clear. You know what love is? Love is an act of your will. It's meeting needs that God places on your heart. It's not just some soppy feeling, okay? It's an act of your will. It's meeting needs. And as you meet needs, so you minister the love of Jesus Christ, and so you open up opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. We need to love the brothers and sisters, because outside they are watching. They might not have cameras in here today watching what we're doing, but I guarantee you when we walk out that door, someone will be watching what we're doing. Okay? And when they see an act of love from one brother to another brother or another sister in Christ, then it ministers to their spirit. And that's how they come to wonder, what is it that these people have? I want to know more. I want to have it too. We need to love the brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to love those people who don't believe in Jesus. You know, the scripture's clear about that too. It gives us the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20, that we have the ministry of reconciliation. Okay? That we are Christ's ambassadors. He has committed us to the message of reconciliation, healing and restoration to a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We need to love the brothers and sisters out there who don't know Jesus enough to tell them about Jesus, instead of walking past and leaving them to their own devices. This was brought home to me last week when I shared a room with a Sri Lankan brother. And I'll share a bit more about this brother another time. His name's Winston. Winston was a Buddhist, you know, in his upbringing, and he was converted to Christianity. And it's very interesting to hear his testimony. He was in Sri Lanka when the tsunami hit, and he's got some incredible stories of what God did for his people when the tsunami hit, okay, and in terms of what Buddhists were trying to do. But the thing that he says, the thing that drives his passion to be an evangelist, is that he understands the depth of the demonic realm and darkness from which he came in his Buddhism, to the point that he was an aggressive and violent young man because there was no hope for him in Buddhism. You know, but God reached down and he rescued him and he touched him in a very real way. Use your gifts and talents to minister to the body of Christ. This is what God calls us to do. He equips us, he empowers us, he enables us. He expects us to do it. I've got a couple of passages of scripture here. I'll probably leave it to you to read. Okay, they're a great passage of scripture. They talk about the distribution of the gifts. Every one of you has a gift. Okay, every one of you is gifted spiritually. It tells us that in the Bible, if you are a believer in Christ. Okay, and you also know it because Ephesians 2:10 tells you that God has good works for you to do, which he prepared in advance. So he must also equip you and enable you to do that too. That includes spiritual gifting. You might not have discovered yours yet. You might still be in infancy with your gifting. Maybe you need some help to discover it. Then, look, we'd love to pray with you and talk with you and talk to trusted Christian friends who know you, know the kind of things that you like doing in your ministry and your experience in church. It will soon become evident, the gifting that God has given you. Just need to spend some time looking at it, okay? And then when you know, to move in it, okay, and operate in it. So, it says, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. For from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, okay, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Okay, God is being very, very clear here in this passage of Scripture. If we want to grow up in together into the fullness of God, then we need to get about what God is calling us to do, and we need to do it together. The gifts and callings of God are given without revocation, the Bible says. It also says that they are for the building up and the edification of the body of Christ, which is who you are. That's what we need to do. Why? Because as we each do our part, we are the ligaments joining and holding together the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. Okay, so our little picture over there, you'll see Jesus is written across the head. Then there's a nice little body that's grown there. Okay, it's not a self-portrait. Okay, I won't tell you who actually modelled for it. Okay, if you can guess, then good on you. But we're going to use that in a moment. So, if we want to be growing spiritually this year, both individually and as a church, we need to understand God's grace at work in our lives. But we also must be willing to work hard together, each being faithful in doing our part of what God has shaped us to do. Okay, that personal growth reflection is up there again, probably just at the moment, just for another glance. These are the kind of things which we should be experiencing and we should be doing if we're really fair dinkum about growing spiritually, both personally and as a church. Okay? Have a bit of a look down that list. Maybe the Holy Spirit is just fingering you at this point of time going, we could work on this one together. Well, that's okay, because none of us are perfect. I'd be more worried if there wasn't an area that you felt that you needed to work on, because then God needs to work on your pride first. Okay? But maybe God's been showing you an area. Okay, it looks like hard work to grow up into maturity in Christ. It requires genuine commitment, but I'm up for it. I can see this wheel of hard work and I can't wait to put my shoulder to it, but I can't do it on my own. I don't have all the necessary gifts and talents for the work ahead, but together we do. We weren't designed to work alone. We were meant to be part of a team. And my question is to you is, will you join the team? Will you be faithful to the gifting and calling God has placed on your life? There will be a cost. I have no doubt. There always is. But it will be worth it. Consider it. Luke 14:28 talks about the builder who first sits down and thinks about the cost before he lays the foundation to see whether or not he is going to finish the job. This is what we need to do as we look at this work that God has prepared in advance for us to do. In a moment, I'm going to ask Brad to put on a CD. I'm only going to play a couple of songs, but during this time, I want you to contemplate your desire to grow spiritually, both individually and as a church. Consider what it may cost and what it may accomplish. You'll notice that over to my right, not left, not on the pinboard but on the wall, is a life-size picture of a human body. Okay? If you are someone who really wants to grow spiritually this year, okay, whether you're part of this church or not, okay, if you want to grow spiritually this year, and if you want your church to do the same, whether it's this church or wherever you're from, then I invite you to come down the front, over there, grab a Nikko pen, and write your name in that body somewhere. Make it nice and clear. Okay, this is an accountability exercise. It's a commitment exercise. God is looking for a response. Are you prepared to put your shoulder to the wheel next to mine and work together for the glory of God? Here's your opportunity. Show that you are committed and that you're fair dinkum about wanting to grow spiritually this year. Show that you're fair dinkum about wanting this church to grow spiritually this year by writing your name on that body as a sign of your commitment. Anywhere but the head. The head belongs to Jesus. Okay? Anywhere but the head. If you've signed your name, or maybe don't feel that you can do it at this time, please resume your seat and just sit quietly until the end of the two songs so that we can respect those people who are still contemplating. Okay? Once that's finished, then you'll be free. We're going to enjoy some morning tea together. I will pray at the end of those two songs. Perhaps you might want to talk about this some more, or maybe you want someone to pray with you. I'll be hanging around at the front here. If you'd like that, I'm more than willing to sit down with you and chat and pray. But I'm just going to ask Brad to play this CD now. Think about the cost. Think about the work. Think about what you want to see God do in and through your life in this church this year. Thanks, Brad. Come, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Come.